We're continuing our look at Acts 23, verses 12 through 22. And here we have 40 Jewish conspirators that have bound themselves with an oath. They have anathematized themselves, put themselves under God's curse if they do not get Paul killed. They have basically said, either we kill Paul or God kills us. So starting in verse 14, let's read the text again. They went to the chief priests and leaders of the people and said, "We've asked God to curse us if we taste any food before we've killed Paul. Here's our plan. You and the council must go to the Roman officer on the pretext that you need more information from Paul. You have to make it look as though you want to get more accurate information about him, and we'll be ready to kill him before he gets to you." Now notice this. They had told the chief priests and leaders and informed them that they had put themselves under this anathema. And so they are ready to murder Paul. John MacArthur makes a great comment on this when he wrote, "It's interesting, I think, to just note the fact that the conspirators, the 40 plus, knew that the leadership of Israel was so morally rotten that they were willing to advertise a murder. Can you imagine going and taking a group of murderers to the Supreme Court and telling them that you'd like their cooperation in a murder?" That's so true, isn't it? The conspirators' plan was really straightforward. The Sanhedrin was to petition the commander to have Paul brought back to the Hall of Stones to further examine him. I'm reading into this, but I suspect that the idea was to ask Claudius Lysias to release Paul, perhaps to temple guards, who would pretend to take Paul back to the high priest. I doubt the conspirators would be willing to kill any Roman guards in an attempt to kidnap and murder a Jew. That would be unthinkable considering the 1,000 soldiers who were at Claudius' disposal. If that were to happen, Claudius might well turn those troops on the Jews. If the temple guards were escorting Paul back to the Sanhedrin, it would be relatively easy to intercept them and kill Paul on one of the narrow streets of Jerusalem. The Romans would be free from accusation, and the conspirators could always come up with an alibi. Well, that brings us to verses 16 through 19. Let me start reading at verse 16. "But when the son of Paul's sister heard about the plot, he went to the barracks and told Paul. And then Paul called one of the centurions and said, 'Take this young man to the commander. He has something to tell him.'" This is one of those times that we wish that Luke would have given us a little more detailed information. The Greek text indicates the son of the sister of Paul heard about the plot. Luke is being intentional in noting that this young man was Paul's nephew from Paul's sister's side of the family. Unfortunately, this is the only identifier that Luke gives us. Well, this is the only time in the Acts narrative that any of Paul's relatives are directly mentioned. In Romans 15, we have perhaps a veiled reference made to more, as Paul cites kinsmen, but he says nothing further about them. So that leaves us with some unsatisfying, unanswered questions. What was Paul's nephew's name? Why was he in Jerusalem? How did he learn about the plot to kill Paul? And how did he gain access to the fortress of Antonia? Well, we'll just have to find out next time on Verse by Verse.